Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. There was optimism earlier yesterday, but now the talks between Secretary of State Alexander Haig and Argentina's Foreign Minister Costa Mendez appear to have stalled over a very fundamental issue. The issue is Argentina's demand to keep its flag flying over the Falkland Islands. We have two reports, beginning with Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires.
Negotiations are expected to resume later today after an emergency meeting of Argentina's military commanders called by President Leopoldo Galtieri to study the options brought up during the day of talks. Sources say Costa Mendez gave Haig a proposal whereby Argentine troops would be withdrawn from the Falklands within 15 days, and Argentina would assume full sovereignty after a transition period ending December 31st. Direct administration would be shared by British and Argentine officials under the observance of one or two mutually agreeable nations. The same source said Haig proposed an immediate withdrawal of Argentine troops and the establishment of a tripartite government, including participation of the United States, Great Britain, and Argentina. The government would administer the island's affairs until December 31st, at which time the issue of sovereignty would be negotiated. This proposal was reportedly rejected yesterday afternoon, and new meetings began to try to reach a compromise. One foreign ministry official said today's round of talks would be decisive. Haig is expected to remain here throughout the weekend. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
This is Dan Raviv in London. British officials say they've received no information from Argentina to make them believe that a peaceful solution is imminent. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher is at her country estate for the weekend, but ready to return to London if Secretary Haig should fly here tomorrow. Military developments are the focus of attention here. An authorized government source denied a claim from Argentina that Britain has declared a blockade of the airspace around the Falkland Islands, although that step could be taken once the Royal Navy Task Force, with its two aircraft carriers, reaches the area in about a week. The Argentines have been flying military transports to supply their forces on the Falklands as British submarines threaten to enforce a naval blockade. The United States Embassy here denied reports that the U.S. has given Argentina intelligence information about the British task force. A typical reaction from politicians here is that of Stanley Clinton Davis of the opposition Labor Party.
We do have two fleets steaming towards each other, and we do have the Americans in a state of confusion, and that cannot be helpful.
Like many other members of parliament and newspapers here, Davis called on the U.S. to stop being even-handed and to force the Argentines out of the Falklands. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. Secretary of State Haig is flying back to Washington tonight. The talks with the generals in Argentina over. The question of war or peace in the distant Falkland Islands still open, still unresolved. We have two reports. First, from Bob Simon in Buenos Aires.
Haig left Buenos Aires saying he's more convinced than ever that war in the South Atlantic would be the greatest of tragedies and that time is running out. From remarks he made before boarding the plane for Washington, it was clear that Haig had proposals but did not have a deal. He said his 3 days here had yielded a further identification and refinement of the Argentine position, which he said he was making available to the British government. Argentine sources say that position contains important concessions from the junta, that the generals are now prepared to have the question of sovereignty over the Falklands negotiated within the framework of the United Nations. The junta had previously been insisting on a guarantee of Argentinian sovereignty, claiming that the question was not negotiable in any framework. Argentina's largest newspaper suggested today that this compromise may have been motivated by an awareness here that the Americans would not permit a political or military defeat for the British, because that would be fatal for Margaret Thatcher and the Conservative Party. Bob Simon, CBS News, Buenos Aires. For the British reaction, here is Tom Fenton in London.
Prime Minister Thatcher has been studying the proposals tonight with key ministers, as well as the chief of the defense staff. Sources in her office warn against what they call any undue optimism. A full cabinet meeting will consider the proposals tomorrow. The cabinet is also likely to review the range of military options available when the British task force reaches the Falkland Islands. It now appears the task force could be within striking distance of the Falklands by the end of the week. Additional mobilization measures were announced today. Three Navy survey ships are being converted to carry wounded from any area of operations to the larger hospital ships. More merchant ships and ferry boats were requisitioned, and another 900 paratroopers, elite elements of the British Army, prepared to leave for the Falklands within the next 2 days. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
The first reaction from No. 10 Downing Street, a statement late tonight from Mrs. Thatcher saying Argentine proposals do not seem to meet British demands. And a new development tonight in Washington. CBS News correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports that Argentina has requested a meeting of the Organization of American States to invoke the Rio Treaty. That calls on the signatories, including the U.S., to come to Argentina's aid in case of war. More of the world tonight after this.
British government sources say they are not very optimistic that a diplomatic solution can still be found. There are indications that the likelihood of war is now looming very large in Mrs. Thatcher's mind. The British government, however, is still negotiating and tonight is sending its counterproposals to Washington. In broad outline, they call for withdrawal of all Argentine troops, a cooling-off period under an interim and presumably British administration, followed by negotiations on the long-term future of the island. Foreign Secretary Francis Pym will fly to Washington tomorrow to discuss the proposals, but there is very little time left for diplomacy. The main body of the British task force was spotted today by an Argentine long-range reconnaissance plane, which seemed to have been aware of the fleet's location. The task force is now expected to speed up and should be within striking distance of the Falklands by this weekend. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
They have drilled and drilled and drilled every day. They say that these things happen on every warship, but they are being taken very seriously now. They have fire drills, they have exercises in which fires are declared in impassable parts of the ship, and firemen have to get in there. They have flooding. They have every sort of disaster you can imagine. There are shell splinters in the side. There is a simulated missile attack, and they constantly practice what they would do if anything like that happened.
Pym says he and Haig have made a useful start toward resolving the competing claims of Britain and Argentina, but sources say fundamental differences remain. Britain is keeping mum on reports that part of its fleet, less than a day from South Georgia, will try to wrest that rugged island from the tiny Argentine army of occupation and use it for a staging base for raids on the Falklands. The British say the enemy may have already made contact, but only by radio, Dan Revive reports.
In the style of propaganda broadcasts in previous wars this century, the would-be enemy is trying to make the troops homesick. The broadcast included the chimes of London's famous clock tower. The female announcer said, "Yes, it's good old Big Ben. It's been a long time since you've listened to that."
"Yes, it's good old Big Ben."
She called herself Liberty, and she was heard by chance here in Britain by John Hearn, who's certain the two-hour program came from Argentina.
"One, the frequency was right. Secondly, the fading of the type which I get from South America when I listen to South America regularly. All the indications were that it was a genuine broadcast from South America."
A spokesman for the British Defense Ministry said a tape recording of the broadcast is being studied to see if it's genuine. The spokesman didn't know whether the British troops headed for the South Atlantic were listening. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
As the fleet draws near the Falklands, the glamour of the situation is wearing thin as the realization grows that there may be shooting soon. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. More in a moment. The ocean liner Canberra, commandeered as a troop ship for the Falklands operation, the Royal Marines Commando Band keeps morale up while the men brush up their fighting skills.
"Get him the gun, DC! Go on, DCs, get him in there, number one, come on!
Stand it!
But while the shipboard drills proceed, the British troopers are hearing not only the commands of their officers, but the sounds of home. The chimes of Big Ben are apparently being broadcast by Argentina in a propaganda effort which also echoes a technique of another war, a kind of Buenos Aires rose.
"Have we met? I am Liberty, and you are Tony."
The broadcasts, monitored in London, are apparently aimed at the expeditionary fleet. There's music, too. Music with a message.
freedom of your land.
But the British troops aren't being swayed much, apparently. This is Corporal Jeremy Phillips, a paratrooper sharpshooter.
My role is to harass the enemy, you know, destroy their morale as much as possible, and gain information from the enemy, and then send it on to our intelligence people.
The sniper describes his weapon, a special L-42 rifle.
The maximum range on it, which would be accurate, is about 1,000 meters. 200 meters, I could hit a man in the head, no problems. 600 meters, hit the whole body of a man, no problems. 800 meters, about 75%, depending on the person and the weather conditions that you're working in.
He says if they fight, he'll shoot.
We take important targets like officers doing their various jobs, signalers. A person with a map would be a very, very good target. All kind of people doing it, and stop people from doing their general routine, like when they eat, when they go to the toilet. That shoots morale down quite a bit.
Rear Admiral John Woodward commands the fleet and says Argentina should not mistake the British resolve.
I think they'd be very ill-advised to try and take us on, because they'll suffer some very severe losses. I would put our chances as being considerably better than the opposition's. And I would be prepared to put a bet on it 20 to 1 and be sure of doing well out of it. This is no bluff.
And now, this message. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News. British Foreign Secretary Francis Pym reportedly now believes it is virtually impossible for the Falklands crisis to be resolved without a shot being fired. I'm Judy Muller, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Sources say the pessimistic assessment by Pym came as he returned home to London from Washington with a peace proposal from Secretary of State Haig. Pym also reportedly said the crunch will come in days, not weeks. After meeting with Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, the assessment was still bleak, with a British spokesman saying the proposals from Washington left a great deal to be desired.
The British government has confirmed that one of its naval task force helicopters has fired on an Argentine submarine. The submarine was in the vicinity of the island of South Georgia and was described by the Ministry of Defense as hostile. The British stressed that the action was in accordance with UN Article 51 in self-defense, but will say nothing of the circumstances that led up to the incident, only that several helicopters were involved. No reports of damage. The military reaction took place just hours after the Ministry of Defense revealed that on Friday, it had warned the Argentine government that an interference with the naval task force, either in the air or at sea, would bring what it called an appropriate response. Martha Teichner, CBS News, London.
One Argentine government official called the report that Royal Navy helicopters had attacked an Argentine submarine this morning off the South Georgia Islands a rumor of the first degree. The defense ministry here has refused to confirm or deny the report. This morning, Argentina's military junta condemned a British warning to keep Argentine ships and planes away from the British battle fleet headed toward the Falklands and South Georgia Islands, or risk appropriate response. A statement issued by the junta called the British warning a violation of international law. The government here said the Argentine armed forces would respond to any British aggression. Defense analysts here interpreted the warning as meaning British forces would open fire if Argentina sent any more spy planes to buzz the 40-ship task force. Meanwhile, Argentine officials say that two British warships reported 54 miles from the South Georgia Islands had been sent there only to intimidate Argentine forces, but were not in a position to attack. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
We now have this late report from Dan Revive in London.
Judy, the British Ministry of Defense has just announced that British forces have landed on South Georgia, the outlying island more than 800 miles east of the main group of Falkland Islands in the South Atlantic. No details have been released. Just a few hours ago, it was announced here that British helicopters had attacked an Argentine submarine near South Georgia. The Ministry of Defense said that attack was to protect British ships and men. It was the first confirmation that elements of the huge British Royal Navy task force are near South Georgia. It had been expected for days that that island would be the first to be recaptured by the British if they could, to further back up the diplomatic efforts that Britain is making to regain the Falkland Islands themselves. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
repeating our top story. The British government at this hour has confirmed that its forces in the South Atlantic have landed on South Georgia, a remote island in the Falkland Island chain, following attack earlier on a submarine, Argentine submarine, by British forces. Judy Muller, CBS News.
News, this Net Alert Bulletin.
This is Dan Raviv at CBS News in London. Outside the Prime Minister's official residence, 10 Downing Street, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher and her Defense Secretary, John Knott, have just come out to speak to reporters. And they reported that British Marines have recaptured the island of South Georgia in the South Atlantic from the Argentines. Defense Secretary John Knott.
The message we've got is that British troops landed on South Georgia this afternoon, shortly after 4 p.m. London time. They have now successfully taken control of Gritviken. At about 6 p.m. London time, the white flag was hoisted in Gritviken beside the Argentine flag, and shortly afterwards, the Argentine forces there surrendered to British forces. The Argentine forces offered only limited resistance to the British troops. Our forces were landed by helicopter and were supported by a number of warships, together with a Royal Fleet auxiliary. During the first phase of this operation, our own helicopters engaged the Argentine submarine Santa Fe off South Georgia. This submarine was detected at first light and was engaged because it posed a threat to our men and to the British warships launching the landing. So far, no British casualties have been reported. At present, we have no information on the Argentine casualty position. The commander of the operation has sent the following message. Be pleased to inform Her Majesty that the White Ensign flies alongside the Union Jack in South Georgia. God save the Queen.
What happens next? What's it not?
Prime Minister Thatcher then was asked by reporters for her comments.
Thank you very much.
What's your reaction? How rejoices that news, and congratulate our forces and the Marines.
Are we going
good
to declare more on
Thank you very much. Thatcher?
Mrs. Thatcher had nothing else to say, but as she went into 10 Downing Street, she again shouted at reporters, rejoice. Repeating this item from CBS News in London, the British government has just announced that British Royal Marines have recaptured the island of South Georgia from the Argentines, who seized that island in the South Atlantic early this month. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Barring some unexpected development, a direct military showdown between Britain and Argentina in the South Atlantic now appears almost inevitable. We have three reports, commencing with Dan Raviv in London.
The step-by-step military escalation today took the form of a total exclusion zone declared around the Falkland Islands. In addition to the naval blockade declared 2.5 weeks ago, as of Friday morning, the British say they'll enforce an aerial blockade. The Ministry of Defense announced that any Argentine ship or aircraft, civilian or military, on or around the Falkland Islands will be considered hostile and liable to attack. The defense spokesman said this includes any plane on the ground, a clear warning to the Argentines to get their planes, ships, and troops out of the Falklands within 2 days. Or else, it seems clear, Britain will stage the invasion that most politicians here feel is inevitable. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher met today with her senior ministers, the so-called war cabinet, and then with her full cabinet. An authorized source told CBS News that some proposals had been sent here by Secretary of State Alexander Haig, proposals that Argentina was not accepting. A report now from that side, Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires.
Argentina's military junta has no comment regarding the British announcement that starting on Friday, a total air and sea blockade would be imposed around the Falkland Islands. The junta has refused to issue any official communique for 30 hours. But this morning, the Argentine newspaper Crónica reported that heavy fighting continued on South Georgia Island and that radio transmission said the British had suffered several casualties in the attack this weekend. The newspaper, citing military sources, said it was false that the British had taken any Argentine prisoners. But despite these reports, the official silence continued to fuel speculation and concern among many Argentines. On the Falklands, troops brace for what is believed here to be an imminent invasion. Argentine television reports show soldiers pitching tents and shoring up defenses. and commanders insist they are ready for the advancing British fleet. Foreign ministry sources here are confirming that Argentine President Leopoldo Galtieri flatly rejected a new peace offer formulated by Great Britain and the United States. The source of the proposal compromised Argentina's sovereignty over the islands. Despite the indications that the outlook for negotiations is gloomy, the Organization of American States continues to meet to discuss the crisis, as Deborah Potter reports from Washington.
It was long after midnight when the foreign ministers finally voted on a resolution that gave Argentina about all it could expect, support for its claim of sovereignty over the islands and a call for an immediate ceasefire. The final count was 17-0, with the United States and three other countries abstaining, U.S. Ambassador William Middendorf saying the timing was all wrong.
The resolution comes at a delicate moment in Secretary Haig's continuing efforts at a moment when the United States has redoubled its peace efforts.
The resolution was less than Argentina might have hoped. It imposed no sanctions on Britain, but Foreign Minister Costa Mendez liked it anyway.
I'm very happy because this has been not only a token of Latin American solidarity, but also a way to peace has been opened. We are interested in peace. We are not interested in war.
Costa Mendez praised what he called the gallant effort of Secretary of State Haig to find a peaceful solution, but once again refused to say if Haig would be welcome to return to Buenos Aires. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Washington.
Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. As President Reagan says, time is running out. The British will establish an air and sea blockade at 7 a.m. Eastern Time Friday. Argentina's planes and ships are on warning in the 200-mile war zone around the Falklands. Robert Pierpoint has more on British preparations for battle.
U.S. officials confirmed to CBS News today that the British have landed by submarine about 90 frogmen on West Falkland Island, the less populous of the two main Falklands, and at least 60 miles from the port town of Stanley. These British forces reportedly are scouting the islands to learn the disposition, number, and weaponry of the Argentine occupying troops. Pentagon estimates put about 6,000 to 8,000 Argentines now on the islands, considerably less than the 10,000 to 15,000 Argentina claims. Within the next two or three days, U.S. intelligence analysts expect the British to land sizable forces at one or two places on West Falkland. But they will try to avoid a direct confrontation with Argentine troops, at least in the early stages, concentrating on harassment, hurting Argentine morale, and helping morale back home in Britain. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the State Department.
Tom Fenton reports from London now on this day of decision.
The air and sea blockade will extend for 200 miles in all directions from the Falklands. Ships or aircraft of any nationality that venture into the zone may be sunk or shot down by the British fleet. Any plane still on the ground at Port Stanley Airport will also be open to attack. The total blockade would be a logical preliminary to an assault on the island. A final decision to launch the assault may have been reached this morning. There was an air of relief and suppressed excitement at Downing Street after a 90-minute meeting of Mrs. Thatcher's inner cabinet that was followed by an emergency meeting of the full cabinet. Secretary Haig's peacemaking efforts have been all but written off by the British government. Officials give the impression that only an unexpected climb down by the Argentines could stop an assault on the islands as soon as operational conditions permit. As one source put it, this is the wrong time to back down when you've got the screws on. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
More of the world tonight in a moment. There are reports in Argentina that the military leaders there are considering a so-called first strike, that they won't wait for the British to shoot first. Those reports are unofficial and unconfirmed, as is much of the information from Argentina. Bob Simon has a report from Buenos Aires.
After more than a day of silence, the military junta released a communique this afternoon saying that a British invasion of the Falklands is expected within the next 24 to 48 hours. These communiques, which are becoming increasingly rare and which contain less and less information, are the only source of official news reaching the Argentine people, and this is leading to increased tension in Buenos Aires. People are continuing to withdraw their savings from banks, food prices continue to rise, and there have been so many reports of hoarding that the economics minister today urged people to restrain themselves and to buy no more than they need. The American embassy has been burning all its classified documents,
all English-speaking countries with embassies here have drawn up contingency plans for emergency evacuation of its diplomatic personnel. News from the southern coastal towns where the big bases are will be hard to come by from now on. All foreign journalists have been told they will have to leave the south by tomorrow afternoon. Bob Simon, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. The Falklands crisis is still hanging fire, but this may be the last day that that can be said. In our series of reports, we hear first from Martha Teichner in London.
Whitehall says no deadline has been set, but there is considerable feeling here that tomorrow noon London time is indeed the deadline for a peaceful settlement. That is when Britain expands her sea blockade of the Falkland Islands into a total blockade. The cabinet has been considering the latest American peace proposals, but the Foreign Office has already described them as gravely deficient. From the troop ship Canberra, Commodore Michael Clapp indicates the task force is prepared for an assault.
We have looked at practically every beach we can find in the Falklands and produced a sort of matrix of advantages and disadvantages. Some are naval, some are more suited to marines.
In a radio broadcast last night, Islands Governor Rex Hunt tried to reassure the islanders who will be completely cut off by the blockade.
I know how isolated you feel, and I fully understand the difficulties which this move may cause you. But it has to be done if we are to get the Argies out soon.
The likelihood of a full-scale British assault on the islands now seems days, not hours off. But in London, an attack still appears almost inevitable. Martha Teichner, CBS News, London.
We've been talking with CBS News correspondent Bob Schieffer in Buenos Aires, asking first about the military situation there this morning.
Things are pretty much on hold here this morning, Dallas. All of the military forces, the Army, the Air Force, the Naval forces are on alert all up and down the coast, and it's a maximum alert. Of course, they're also on alert out on the islands themselves. The word here is that a British attack is expected within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Bob, what about the suggestion by an Argentine military spokesman that Argentina might strike first?
Well, as yet, they'd have to find something to strike, I suppose, Dallas. Now, when the air blockade goes into effect, well, then we're told the British fleet, or at least part of it, would then be within range of the land-based Argentine air forces. As yet, the British fleet is just simply out of range of the air forces that Argentina has.
What about the possibility that negotiations might resume?
Very little chance of that seen here at this point, Dallas. The official line is that the diplomatic channels are still open, but the people here this morning see very little hope that some kind of a negotiated settlement can be reached anytime soon.
That was Bob Schieffer in Buenos Aires. The exact location of the British task force in the Falklands area is, of course, a military secret. But Bill Lynch reports the estimate contained in British and American intelligence reports reaching the Pentagon.
The main body of the British fleet is now said to be lying east-northeast of the Falklands, just out of range of harassing attacks by Argentinian warplanes. Any major British moves are likely to be made under cover of darkness, with initial low-level raids by carrier-based Harrier attack planes on the airstrip just south of Port Stanley. British helicopters would then ferry the first wave of troops into lightly defended landing zones, followed by amphibious landings of the main body of troops. U.S. weather forecasters are calling for improved conditions in the area with calmer seas, an advantage for fleet operations, but also heavy clouds and fog, a minus for the Argentinian Air Force. The human element will have a lot to do with the timing of any operation. Most of the British landing force has been at sea for 3 weeks, and each day they're tossed about in the stormy South Atlantic, their effectiveness is reduced. Bill Lynch, CBS News, The Pentagon.
The commander of the task force, Admiral John Woodward, is quoted today as saying that if battle broke out on the Falklands, it would be long and bloody. Day before yesterday, Woodward said it would be a walkover.
9 o'clock.
CBS News. Still no sign of a break in the Falkland Islands crisis. This is Dallas Townsend reporting on the CBS radio network. Neither Britain nor Argentina has responded yet to the latest American plan for resolving the dispute, and there seems little chance that the response, when it comes, will be favorable.
Newsbreak. Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS radio network. When war clouds gather, we report them as if they were the weather, moving as if they were some inevitable and destructive force of nature, quite beyond the control of man. War clouds gathering over the Falklands, we say. Looks bad. Barometers dropping. Storm warning. War warning. As if there were nothing anyone could do. Stand by. For the British to send their fleet all those thousands of miles to the Falklands is, some say, a 19th century response, an anachronism. And yet the situation is a 19th century situation, or 18th or 17th, you name it. Invasion of one country's territory by the forces of another country, preceded, to be sure, by territorial claims. But what else is new? You have it, we want it, we take it. What are you going to do about it? And the challenge is such an insult to national pride that pride responds. And on both sides, there is a stiffening of backs, a hardening of positions. And like prehistoric animals circling each other in some primeval swamp, the nations roar and bellow. There is a snarling and a threatening and a baring of teeth, and God help anybody that gets in the way. Here is Tyrannosaurus. Here is Triceratops. Here is extinction. Argentina sends forth an invasion force. Britain sends forth its fleet. The makings of war there, and as awful as that is, we see it happen, and however we may try to divert the storm, there is this sense that history somehow has now taken over, and that now the nations are only acting out their roles according to the script that destiny has written. We always somehow think we'll be in control when the time comes, but then it turns out the options are always so limited. Proud words follow proud words, words like always and never. Look out how you use proud words, the poet wrote. Proud words wear tall boots, and you cannot call them back. And once the words are spoken, once those proud words are mobilized and dressed in uniform and sent parading out into the world, why, then there is a force loose that cannot be turned around as easily as an army or a fleet. Proud words come in all languages. They certainly come in English and in Spanish. Proud words are something like a missile that once launched and on its way will follow its ballistic track no matter what. In the Falklands, with every new communique from the junta, with every new pronouncement from Whitehall or 10 Downing Street, it becomes more and more difficult to avoid the collision between the irresistible and the immovable. We are all spectators only, and with no more control over what will be than if we were sitting in a theater watching some film. However we may shout at the characters, they will not listen. They cannot hear. But this is one war movie where the audience can get hurt, make no mistake. But this is not a movie, and this is not a dream. This is real. And it is not some episode from history, it is now. And we who inhabit the now are going to be affected by what takes place, whatever that might be. It is not only the guns and the ships and the warplanes that have been dispatched, it is those proud words you have to look out for. Look out how you use proud words, for they wear tall boots, and you cannot call them back.
The White House says there is very little basis for optimism. Secretary of State Haig has canceled plans for a medical examination and is remaining in Washington in case he can pursue any last-minute chance for peace in the Falklands crisis. But Britain and Argentina are continuing to prepare for war. We have two reports, first from Martha Teichner in London.
It appears tonight in London that a settlement of the Falkland Islands crisis based on the latest Haig proposals is unlikely. In the fourth emergency parliamentary debate on the issue, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher made it clear she believes the burden is on the Argentines to give in and said that her threat of force is not a bluff.
Is it really suggested that to use our task force in self-defense for the recapture of British territory is not a proper use of force? As long as the Argentines refuse to comply with the Security Council resolution, we must continue to intensify the pressure on them. And we must not abandon our efforts to reestablish our authority over our own territory and to free our own people from the invader.
Members of the Labour Party renewed their objection to the use of force. Labour Party leader Michael Foote said if the talks fail, quote, try again. Martha Teichner, CBS News, London.
Argentina says the British fleet is maintaining radio silence as it approaches the Falklands and sees this as a sign of imminent hostilities. More on this from Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires.
Argentina continued to prepare for war as military leaders insisted a British invasion of the Falklands could come within 24 hours. On the Falklands themselves, troops were transferred to different parts of the main island as Great Britain's Friday deadline for a total air and sea blockade approached. The mobilization took place, even as some U.S. sources suggested that a team of British commandos had already landed on West Island, 60 miles from Port Stanley, where most of the Argentine troops are concentrated. As military preparations went on, Argentina's Minister of the Interior, Alfredo St. Jean,
accepted a new peace plan suggested by President Reagan had, in his words, some elements that could be utilized. When asked if the negotiations had reached a point of no return, St. Jean answered no, and added that if the British showed a minimum amount of goodwill, a settlement could be reached. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
More of the world tonight in a moment.